You're listening to Wake Up with Patty Catter, where we're overcoming trials with triumphs. Now, here's your host, Patty Catter.
Hello, everybody. You're listening to and watching Wake Up with Patty Catter, and I am your hostess, Patty Catter. Today, I have Christopher Martini on the show with me. Christopher, welcome.
Hi, Patty. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm really happy you're here. I can't wait for my listeners to get to know you a little bit and know who you are and what you're about. If you wouldn't mind just telling our listeners a little bit about yourself, that would be wonderful.
Sure. I was born in Dallas, Texas to an Irish American mother who was a parole officer and to an Italian sculptor from Italy. So, from Rome, Italy. So two major worlds colliding there. And then, you know, at a very early age, my parents split up and my mom remarried Stuart Margolin, who was a famous actor on the Rockford Files. He won two Emmy Awards. He was on a bunch of TV shows and movies. He was also a director. And they actually knew each other since they were 15 years old. The story goes that my mom was a juvenile judge in Texas, and my stepfather got, had to go to court for speeding tickets, and that's where they met. So, so we moved around a lot. We moved, I have a brother who's an actor, Max Martini, who was in Saving Private Ryan and Captain Phillips and The Unit and Contact, a lot of other movies and TV shows. My sister is a well-known costume designer in LA. She's done feature films. She worked with Spike Lee and Jonathan Demme, but has now kind of, you know, settled into commercials. And every year during the Super Bowl, there's at least, you know, two or three commercials that my sister did the costumes. So we're a real family of filmmakers and actors. And we moved around a lot. We lived in LA after Texas, and then we moved up to British Columbia, Canada, where I grew up partly. And then after that, I moved to New York and went to NYU Film School, because I always wanted to make movies. I used to run around our family farm with a crappy little video camera, making movies with my brother and my sister. And, you know, so I knew at a very early age that I wanted to make movies. Graduated film school, bounced around every department in the film business, and, you know, kind of, I was working on TV shows, doing camera, sound, and I got tired of the grind of TV film life, you know, and I settled into editing. I became a union editor, but all the time, you know, making my own films. And that's kind of where I am today. I'm still making films. I had a production company in Midtown Manhattan. We did pretty well. And now, you know, I'm making films. I've kind of expanded my, I've also acted. You know, I was a child actor in an HBO film with James Garner, John Lithgow, Margot Kidder. And then I acted in my own movie Trooper. So the whole time I was making my own films, but working as, you know, making money as an editor. And now I've expanded into cinematography. Now I'm shooting my own movies. So I like to wear many hats.
I guess that, so.
And then, you know, and then I have a wife named Liz, and a son named Aiden, who's 2 years old, and a pit bull named Stella. And I live in Brooklyn, New York, and looking to find my next place to live to bring my family, and, you know, looking in other states right now.
Florida's a great spot.
I know. I know. I want to come.
You can come visit and see if you like it here. But I was
just there because, you know, my wife's family has a place there. And I couldn't believe how many people were there. It was really, you could see that there's been a huge influx of immigration there. Mm-hmm. So
that's true. Yeah, that is true. The traffic is crazy sometimes too. So, so tell me, when you were a child, then it sounds like you knew you wanted to be an actor. Is that right? Or did you just think, oh, I'll just try it? Or, I mean, tell me about that a little bit.
Well, I knew I wanted to be a director. Acting, I did, you know, not because I want to be an actor, but just by necessity. And as a child, I was just kind of thrown into the mix into acting. But I've always wanted to be a filmmaker, a director. You know, in my house growing up, my stepfather had, you know, these great old movies by some of my favorite filmmakers like Orson Welles, Ingmar Bergman, Kurosawa, you know, like all these classic films that I, you know, at a very young age kind of poured through and just devoured. And you know, so I always wanted to be the guy behind the camera. You know, my brother was the actor, my stepfather was the actor, and my sister, the costume designer, but I wanted to be the guy, you know, writing the script, you know, working with the actors, putting the whole thing together. I mean, I've always loved it because you can create a whole world, you can create a whole universe and watch it come to life. And then watch audiences look at that dream that you had or that vision.
So what was the most bizarre thing that you have ever directed, would you say? Or the most, you know, whether that's exciting or challenging or what, or funny or whatever, what do you think? Because, you know, looking back, even me as a podcaster, I look back at my old episodes 15 years ago and I'm like, oh my gosh, that was crazy. Do you have any of those stories?
Yeah. When my father passed away, my father was a crazy Italian artist. He was also an inventor. And when I was in film school, he had this pasta sauce company. And, you know, he actually bottled these sauces in Brooklyn. He had like, you know, 30 different pasta sauces and he had the pasta and everything, but he wasn't like his execution sometimes wasn't good. You know, I mean, like all the sauces were great, but you know, the pasta, you know, some kind of bug got in there and you open the package and like, it was like Silence of the Lambs and like butterflies started coming out. And, but some of these sauces actually kept my brother and I alive during college when we had no money. You know, and he invented other things. Like he says he invented like the Goodyear Aqua Tread, and he says he invented, you know, like, you know, a bicycle seat. It's a little bizarre. I'm not going to get too far into the bicycle seat, but in other things. So he had this pasta sauce company, and, you know, on the bottles, I basically made a film about this. I'm kind of getting to that point, but, on the bottles, it said, you know, made in New York by authentic Italian chefs. It was my brother and I and a bunch of like workers that my dad found on the street, you know, and in a warehouse in Brooklyn. And then, you know, so he had my brother and I go out onto the street giving it to people. And we were very young, you know, like, and, you know, and then Dean and DeLuca was going to buy a case and this would have changed everything. And then my dad just being bad at business, you know, kind of the deal imploded. And then, but then his pesto started explode like in the store because they bought a case. And anyways, we made a movie about this and this, and right after my father passed away, we made it as therapy, you know, kind of for my brother and sister and I. My brother played my dad. I directed it. My sister did the costumes. My brother's son played, you know, the kid, which was us. And then my other brother's son did the camera work. So it was a complete, you know, family production. And it was just wild to be out on the streets in New York and just see my brother play my dad. And, you know, there were strippers in the movie and all these other crazy things. And it was just, it was an over the top, like Italian comedy with like, you know, just subtly sexual and, you know, food. And it was just the craziest film I ever did. It actually did really well. It won festivals and they showed it on Alaska Airlines. And so it's kind of fun. You know, you start with this idea in your head to make a film about your crazy father. And then before you know it, millions of people on Alaska Airlines are watching, you know, something that you were just sitting in a Mexican restaurant with your brother and sister drinking margaritas going, wouldn't this be funny if we did this? And so anyways, that was gotta be one of the funnest, you know, weird things that I've done.
I want to watch that now though. I really want to watch that. What's the name of it?
It's called Pasta Light, one word, Pasta Light. I put some of my movies up for free on YouTube, you know, because you get on my YouTube channel, Christopher Martini, you can see some of my films up there. And that's one that I put up for free because, you know, I make a living doing stuff. Some with my movie, you know, I'm shooting a TV series right now for news but sometimes you just want people to watch the movie. I mean, it's most important that people see it. So yeah, I put some of my films up there.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So what are you working on right now? Are you allowed to say?
I'm finishing up a documentary on Scott Lobato, who's, you know, a controversial, patriotic, conservative artist. I've been filming that for 3 years and getting... Yeah, we just, you know, brought on an investor, a producer, and just getting ready to get that, you know, seen and out there, distributed to the public. I've been working on that a long time. I directed, shot it, cut it, everything, 3 years. So I'm doing that. And then I do a lot of, as you know, veteran-related stuff. And that movie deals with, you know, veterans as one of the topics in the film. And I just finished a music video for Shannon Book called Dear Mom that is honoring Gold Star families. And that's going to come out. And that's a really emotional, powerful video for, you know, a song that was, you know, that just blew me away when I saw it. So I'm really, really excited you know, to get that out. We're almost finished that editing. That was funded by Operation Encore, who helps veterans who are singer-songwriters. So really cool project. I shot that in San Antonio with, you know, a crew made almost entirely of veterans. I mean, I've actually trained veterans to work on my film. On my films as crew members. So now I have my own little crew of veterans, and I love it because they, you know, they show up on time. They don't complain. You know, if it's raining, you're not going to hear anyone complaining. You know, if you know, we got to get that shot, we're running a little behind and people are getting hungry. You know, on a regular film set here in New York, you're going to get, you know, people swearing at you, screaming, you know, but yeah, this group of people that I work with now are really, really amazing.
That's cool. So how did you start working with veterans?
My veteran thing started, my passion started during 9/11. It was 9/11 had me, you know, that was like sort of the war of, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq. Those were our wars of my generation. And, you know, 9/11 hit, and that's the first time that I, you know, saw conflict on TV and combat. And then I got hired to edit a documentary on Gulf War veterans. So I was pouring through like tons of footage on veterans, and it really, shocked me. It made me sick. Some of the things that were happening to veterans, you know, I saw combat footage that really was, I'd never seen anything like that before. But the thing about that documentary that changed me was that it was about veterans coming home and then having to go through the labyrinth at the VA just to get care, you know? So that really, that's what did it for me is I, you know, my grandfather was a World War II veteran and I couldn't believe that, you know, these men and women that were going, you know, risking their lives so that we can live in safety and security. Like, I didn't know how hard it was for them when they came back, you know, that the military doesn't teach them, you know, they teach them how to kill and how to survive, and they don't teach them how to, you know, to deal with that trauma when they come home. And then when they're sick, you know, they have emotional, physical injuries, and then, you know, the VA, they have to jump through hoops. So it was disgusting. And that's why I made the film Trooper, and where I play an Iraq veteran coming home from war. And my dad's a Vietnam veteran who's dying from Agent Orange, essentially. And we both have PTSD in the movie. My brother is my brother in the movie, and he's still deployed. But, you know, when I made this movie, I had, you know, real Iraq veterans in the movie. I had an Iraq veteran as my executive producer, and I screened this film to veterans like all over the country, like, you know, veteran groups and, you know, World War II veterans for the 101st Airborne, you know, were coming up to me saying they had never cried during a movie. And so I was making friends with these people, and, you know, it became part of my life, you know. And I've always felt like if you're a filmmaker and you make a film about a community, you have to, you know, you essentially make a promise to that community to tell their story truthfully. And you in your own personal life can't abandon them after the film. So it's really, you know, they've become my community, essentially. And sorry, I get. I look to them as an example because they show me what sacrifice is and what duty is. And they're just great people.
I feel that 100%. I know it. My husband's a veteran, and I'm a big advocate for military veterans, and I know they appreciate that so much, because there are people who come into the community and they'll use the veterans and then they leave and they never see them again. And I'm positive you're making a huge impact. And I didn't say anything at the beginning of the show, and it didn't even register until you said that your brother's Max. I know your brother Max. I've met him in somewhere in California at one point, but same thing. You guys are just amazing vet supporters. And I actually met him at a veteran event. So
it's very Hollywood, you know, to go into a community and, you know, essentially use them to tell a story, you know, that is going to benefit everybody financially on the film. And then, you know, there's been horror stories of communities just being ripped in two, like the Native American community. I made a Native American film, you know, there's stories about dances with wolves like that, you know, and, you know, that's, I'm also launching an online film school pretty soon. I'm working on that. And that's one of the things that I'm going to teach is just sort of this idea of like responsible filmmaking, you know, that you have to be, you have to respect the people that you're telling their story, you know, and not even when the film's over, you know, and you have to tell it truthfully, you know. I had an actor and Trooper who was in the film Green Zone, and that director totally twisted. I know there's a Rangers, you know, Special Forces Ranger friend of mine, Monty Gonzalez, who's, that movie was based on him. And that director sort of, you know, told him one thing, and then, you know, when the film was finished, he completely flipped his story into something political, like anti-war. Anyway, so my point is that when I do my film course, I want to teach people how to be responsible filmmakers, and responsible also in the subject matter that you're putting out into the world. When you make a film, that film is going to go into people's living rooms, you know, into their eyes and into their head. And it's like, what are you giving the world? You know, are you giving the world something good that it needs, or something, you know, bad that it doesn't need? Anyways,
mm-hmm. That's amazing. But when do you think your course will be out? Do you know yet, or you're just putting it together right now?
I'm writing, it's funny, I'm writing the scripts for screenwriting, you know, but, you know, I'm hoping in 6 months, 4 to 6 months, that the screenwriting section of it will be out. This is going to be the most massive thing that I've ever done. You know, I've finally realized that, I know a lot that people can use, you know, especially veterans. I'm going to have veteran first responder discounts, you know, that they have a way of telling their story. I'll give them the tools that they need to tell their story, and also turn their trauma into art. Because I do think that, you know, writing, making a movie is very therapeutic if you know how to turn your trauma into story. You know, so yeah, that'll be one of the things that I go into in my film class.
That's amazing. And I'm curious, because I know my listeners will be curious, during that course, are you going to teach people how to actually start at the beginning, as far as, I'll just use my daughter as an example. She's really interested in becoming a director. She wants to, but she has no idea where to start, and she's 22. So she's been to college, she's been in theater classes, she's done a lot of acting, but she's said to me the other day, I don't even know where to start. So are you going to cover things like that in your course?
Yeah. I mean, that, like, where to start in terms of the writing, or?
Well, she's great at writing, but she said, you know, there are schools for directing. You can go to college for it, but she feels like college courses aren't the way to go. I don't know why.
Yeah. You know, the problem with college is that you get a lot of professors that are very, you know, set on one way or one type of film or one type of student, you know, and so you get into really kind of box-like thinking, and you honestly don't need to spend that amount of money to learn the things that you can learn by watching movies or watching special features on DVDs. Well, I know DVDs aren't really out there too much anymore, but, you know, all those special features are available somewhere. And, you know, and maybe taking my class too. I mean, the thing is that, you go to a film school or university and you study it there, and you get professors who, you know, are so arrogant, and they think that, you know, they sit there and they're on their high horse, you know. But when I do my course, I've made films, and I've made a living in the film industry, and I've never had to, you know, think, I'm thankful that I have never had to, you know, do a regular 9-to-5 job. I've been able to sustain myself. But I'm still learning, you know, and I'm still making films, and there's still many films I want to make. So, you know, they're going to be learning from somebody who's out there doing it. And I've every year I make so many films, you know, and I'm going to keep doing that.
Yeah. I think that's a big difference too, because she did mention, you know, these college professors, I don't even know if they've produced anything in many cases. And I don't know how that works either. So I'm not sure.
They have, but they've retreated to the classroom. You know, I'm going to still be out in the field. And, you know, with the film tutorials that are out there, you've got the master class on one end with like guys like Scorsese and Herzog and all these big directors. They're not really telling you how to do it. I mean, they're giving you stuff, but they're not letting you into their method, you know. So that those master classes are for people that want to watch it to say that they're kind of going through the motions to fulfill their dreams, but there's no actual practical steps on how to apply that stuff that they're talking about. At least I don't think so. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got like, you know, wedding videographers that call themselves filmmakers that are not even making films with scripts and acting. You know, they do promos. Maybe they've been lucky to get, you know, a commercial or two, and their videos are really slick. The camera work's really good. It looks really good, but they're not filmmakers because they're not telling a story, you know? So what I'm going to do is kind of fall in the middle of that and actually give people what they need and not alienate people who look at Hollywood and think, well, I'm never going to be like that guy, you know?
Mm-hmm. So. That's amazing. Where can people find you on social media? Do you have a website? Give us some more of that information.
Yeah. I mean, right now I'm trying to send people to my YouTube page, which is Christopher Martini. I've got a lot of my videos up there. Subscribe to me there. I'm on Instagram as Triple Martini Prod, one word. But yeah, and then my website is triplemartiniproductions.com.
Awesome. And those of you listening, you can go to the show notes and I'll have all of the links. If you're watching, you're going to see them on the screen. So Christopher, is there anything that you want to tell the audience while you have this platform, of anything? I don't care what it is. What do you want to tell the listeners right now? I usually don't give people that broad of an opportunity, but whatever you want.
Well, since we're on the topic of film, you know, I think, we didn't get into politics today, which is good, you know, in some ways, but, you know, I think there's a general consensus that, you know, at least in conservative circles, that the country's, you know, a little bit going down the tube, you know, but since we're on the topic of filmmaking, I would just say that, you know, if you want to make movies, you know, find a way to bring, you know, your filmmaking, your storytelling, cinema, you know, back to the old days when we knew how to tell stories, when it wasn't just about, you know, nudity or violence or swearing and, you know, all these things that we're so desensitized to. If you're going to make movies, try to, you know, again, make responsible movies and try to bring American filmmaking back to how it was, back to how it was in, you know, in the 50s and 60s and 70s, when the rest of the world actually looked up to us and looked up to our quality of stories. You know, that's one of the things that I would love to teach people, you know, what I'm passionate about and how to do that. So yeah, just bring it back to the golden age. That's my only
mm-hmm. Yeah, advice. That is so amazing, because, you know, I was thinking about that just recently. I turned on this really cool show. I thought it was amazing. First episode was like so good. Second episode, so good. And then all of a sudden, the third episode, for an entire hour, I was fast forwarding, just trying to get through their agenda, you know, of this new series. And it was feeling like they were just trying to shove their belief down my throat that whole entire episode. And it lost me. It was just like, I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to support it. But yeah, what happened to those old great shows? I mean,
I have something. Ooh, I love it. That's the year I was born.
Me too.
I do have something I do have something else to say that, you know, I don't think I've ever said this in an interview before, but, you know, if you're watching a movie, you know, and if, especially if you're watching an older movie that was made, you know, pre-late 70s, mm-hmm. you know, just slow down, try to watch the movie, really listen to what the actors are saying, you know, try to practice your patience and not wanting to flip and not wanting, like, you know, rapid editing, and like, just absorb what is happening on the screen and try to pick up, you know, the subtleties and just calm down, you know, and watch it, because I feel like, you know, movies are declining also because our attention span is declining, you know? And so the quality of stories are declining. So if we can teach people to actually, you know, have that patience and that calmness when they're absorbing something like that, I think it's going to help, you know, reverse the storytelling back to, you know, where, what the rest of the world is still doing. It's just us. We're just moving too fast.
Yeah, it's true. It is so true. I know they say now you have 3 seconds to hook somebody on social media. That's it. that's crazy.
All right, well, yeah, the social media rules you kind of have to adhere to. But, you know, the movie theaters are all shutting down because, you know, we're making films for people's living room, you know? So go to the theaters and watch these long movies. That's my only advice.
Mm-hmm. Great advice too. And it's such a good way to unwind as well. I mean, we get so wrapped up in having it fast right away, you know, like that old McDonald's saying, like, your way right away or whatever. And pull up to the drive-thru and get your food in 60 seconds. And you know how great that food is, right? It's the same thing with movies. Take it slow.
I love it.
Thank you, Chris, so much for being on the show. And everybody, thank you for listening. Chris, I wish you the very best. Make sure you let me know when that course comes out, because I'd like to have you on again so we can promote that some more. And
the documentary too.
Yeah. And can you give us a couple of names of your shows so that people can go pick them out or watch them? I know that some of them are available on their TV or on your YouTube channel.
A bunch of them are on Amazon. If you go to Amazon and you put in Trooper Martini, and you click on my name, all my movies will come up on there. You know, there's at least like 6 or 7 up there.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much for being my guest today. I'm so happy that you came on the show. And everybody, thank you for listening, and have a great, amazing rest of your day or your evening, wherever you're located. And make sure you check out Christopher Martini on social media. And again, I'll have all the handles in the notes. So until next time, have a great week.
Thanks, Patty.
Thank you for listening. Please head over to pattycatter.com for the latest updates on Patty, her talk show, and what she's up to. You can also find her on Amazon TV and Roku, and on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter @PattyCatter. Until next time.